these golden eagles. I was still obsessed with all this. And when I went there, I went to Joshua Tree Monument Park, and I was so disappointed. It was like dead. I mean, just this vast blue sky, not a bug, not a bird, nothing in sight. And I thought, oh, I'm never going to see my golden eagles. And then every day I would go walking and looking for them. And then one day when I came out of meditation, I was walking, and all of a sudden I saw this little black speck in the sky, far, far away. And I just stood and I kept seeing it come closer and closer. And then all of a sudden there was this big rustling, and I looked up and there were three golden eagles circling above me. And I jumped to the mound, and I just was so ecstatic. I just was, I mean, I can't explain the feeling I had. And they circled overhead, and then they flew off. And deep down, I knew that my experience was real. And then when I got home, this sort of winds up the experience. One day my husband called me, "Dolores, Dolores, your hawks are outside. They want you. They're circling overhead." And so I ran out, and there I saw the red-tailed hawk, the black buzzard hawk, and the little baby hawk. They were teaching it how to fly, and the little hawk was flying, and then it fell down. And then when it finally got where it was in complete control, the black buzzard hawk, that's the one that had swooped down and looked me in the eye, he came overhead and he sort of dipped his wings. I mean, you wonder, is this real? I don't know. But then my husband said, "Did you see him acknowledge you?" And I said, "Yes, but he's saying goodbye." And I don't know what made me feel that, but I watched Hawk and he just went far away, and I never saw him again. And that was the end of this, I call it a magical experience. It was so wonderful, and I think these classes made me go back and really relive all this, because I sort of put it out of my mind. And then when I wanted to think of a talisman, I was both drawing geometric figures and all this sort of thing, and none of it seemed real. And then the eagle, the hawk, because I had another experience with the hawk, I mean a big eagle a long time ago, when I was feeling really low down and I was very young, he landed on my the rail of my ski home in Vermont, and that was a glorious, glorious moment. I couldn't believe it. But so then I thought, it's the eagle or the hawk is my talisman. I mean, this is, I still get all excited when I see a hawk or an eagle flying. And but I will show you this during the class. I found these, and these were the first ones that I felt represented my hawks and my eagles. But I was going to get this one because if you see the fire opal in it, it's translucent, and I felt that was a symbol of the spirit coming out. But I couldn't resist the black one, and went away at this crap there, and I had this black one. So when I started making my talisman, I bought all the supplies, and I was going to put it in the gold ring and the wheel of wheel with energy and so forth. It didn't seem right because I felt I needed this black one. And then when, as I said, when I went to your lecture and you said, "As above, so below," I knew I had to have both of them, because one is the mysterious self, and the other is the spirit, the cosmic psyche above. And so I'm going to put them in plexiglass stands, one higher than the other, and have it like this. But I thought if I didn't get to this class and tell you about it, I would never do it, because it's much easier than I thought. But now I want to show you this painting, or during all this time, things kept happening, and when I show you the painting, you'll see what it represented.
You need some help? Maybe Dan can help you hold it up? Or?
And it was done by this artist. I found out later when I saw this at this fair. I said, "What does it mean to you?" And he said, "What does it mean to you?" You know, and he wouldn't tell me. And this is me. I mean, I felt, my God, this is me, you know.
Why don't we set it right here on the stage?
Oh, but it, the light shines. I'll turn it around. And, I mean, there's the hawk and the sun. And I found out that he had studied in India for a long time. But I knew when I saw this that this was my experience.
Perhaps
I'm sorry it took so long. That's why I hesitated, but I couldn't make
all.
It any shorter.
Why don't you set it out so it could be seen?
No, just turn around.
I guess the book's there, yeah.
Okay.
And we'll see it. Some responses for Dolores, please.
When did this sequence start? When was the...
Well, I had been, I remember Roger had said, you walk instead of running. And I had been jogging. And then all of a sudden I changed my mode, and it started about a year and a half ago. I just started walking, you know, an hour every day. Came about.
Yeah, that's a very protean insight. When you change your pace, the world is completely different. And when you get the right pace for yourself, then it happens. Then that magic occurs. Sometimes you'll see very sophisticated meditators who will move in a very select way. I don't mean just yogis, but there are people who are very conscious. Actors sometimes are very conscious, and they'll move in just the right way when they're really into a role. I think the most consummate movement artist, magician I ever saw was Henry Fonda. When he was into his role doing it, every action, every motion was all of the same piece. And the language came out of that motion. And it was like choreographed consciousness, and it was indelible. And you could see that he was this. He didn't try to do it. He did do it, in fact. And once you see that, you pick that up. You were going to say, Carol.
That we call perfect synergy with the experience. You see it then, form.
Synchronicity. Yeah. That artist was able to express it in a way that she was thinking of it. That is synergetic in its focus that she now has the painting, but it's synchronistic in all of its correlations. Synchronistic. Yeah.
One thing I thought it was something that you, Roger, shared from D.E. Cummings' autobiography or something, where he had fed the hummingbirds at his summer home, and that one time several of them appeared before him and fought several times, and he commented that they were saying goodbye for the season or something like that. Something that came to mind is that I knew this woman who was part Indian, whose name is Dolores, and whose Indian name is Eagle Woman. And that just came to me. And then also, I was just wondering if Dolores's, I suppose, but I just is familiar with Robinson Jeffords' works, which deals so much with hawks, exhibitors, eagles. So I suppose I just wanted to mention his work in case, by some chance, you weren't familiar with it. I'm not that familiar with it, but that's all.
We have a lot, all of Jeffords' work here. You could read it. Yes, Sina.
I was very moved by the way you expressed how you dealt with the fact of your neighbors excluding you from that particular path you had taken, and that way that you were able to go on to another way, and the realization of the spirit was still with you.
Well, I bought it. Because the first time there were two little dogs who would always go after me, and I thought I could cope with them. But then, and then the woman with the two little dogs came out and swore at me. So I still would go, but then when the German Shepherd came, I thought that was, I had to leave, so that's when I changed my path.
I was struck that you must have a very, very fine husband.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in a very quiet way, he understands all this, but he isn't. I mean, he helped me pack the painting, and he said, "Good luck."
That's enough.
And I kept saying, "Oh, it's too much trouble. I don't think I'm going to take it." He said, "Well, it's up to you, you know." And so I took it.
Dan,
there's a place in Kern County outside of Bakersfield in the foothills where you can find bald eagles and golden eagles. The condors used to hang out there also. On the mountain ridge, there are three trees that haven't been alive as long as I've known, and they haven't been alive as long as the knowledge of the guy that introduced me to the place, but all these birds sit on this ridge. The birds travel, of course, all around. They can travel 200 miles in a day. They don't think anything of that. But they all seem to gather on this ridge, and you can sit on the road below and see an enormous number of these birds there. As we know, pretty awesome. And there isn't anywhere else in California where you can see goldens and balls and condors and all the hawks. Nice place. And it's really not too far away.
Thank you.
I had a friend in Canada who, by some circumstance, found himself having to care for a young eagle and was having trouble to get it to eat, and somebody finally told him, an Indian friend of mine, Floyd Running Rabbit, said that eagles have to pounce on their food or they won't eat it, and to stop trying to feed it by hand, that it wasn't a sparrow, it was an eagle. And so he'd throw the raw liver down and this little eagle would pounce on it just like the real thing, because it was the real thing, you see. And he was shocked. Because he thought he's going to have a nice little experience again. Don't take eagles for short walks on short leashes. They have to be eagle. Thank you, Dolores. Thank you. Has someone else brought a talisman that we should look at? Or an amulet? Well, in that case, then we'll go. Please work together.
May I bring my idea?
Yes, you have your idea. Bring it.
With this.
Bring it.
But last evening, it's only going to take a couple of minutes.
Bring it.
Please bear with me, because if I don't do it now, I'll
okay.
Long.
Let's do it.
Okay, and if I may just read it. It's titled Idea, so it must be one. Last week, driving over, I said to myself silently my idea, and I expected to say it aloud here. But it wouldn't get out of my throat, so I thought writing it out to just read it here would help. But as I started writing, it seemed to shrink to just a puff of air. Continuing with my circles and spheres, I'm struck by the thought of reality being a constant explosion and implosion of energy to the center, which is everywhere. And I recently came across a quotation attributed to a starhawk. "The cosmos is a polarized field of forces. that are constantly in the process of swirling into form and dissolving back into pure energy. But my idea is more concerned with the point at which we perceive these forms, and that sometimes what we need to perceive is not what we first see, that the background may be so bright that it obscures the true content. I was looking at the images on a deck of Italian tarot cards, brightly painted, beautiful colors with some of the cups drawn elaborately as chalices, so that the sides of some, which at first seemed to be background, actually formed the silhouette of a different cup, which had a very different style and feeling. So the idea is the constant interacting of forms in our world, and we as the perceiver using discrimination in acknowledging both aspects of manifestation of things, both but not equal, not the same, not just a complement, and that the use of this discrimination makes for what we sense as our movement and action in this swirling energy world.
We should have some Xeroxes of that. We'll pass that out, if you would. We'll make copies so that each can have that. More next week.